Hello, this is Malvin Massey, host of Focus on the Arts. This is the first half of a two-part focus. Now, it didn't start out to be two parts, but the story is an interesting part of Memphis history, and so we just kept going. Now here's the first part of a special Focus on the Arts with Frank James, founder of the Edge Coffee House. Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Arts. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. Of course, every Friday we talk to the movers and shakers of the Memphis arts community, the people that are making things happen for your entertainment, benefit, and mine. Our guest today is an original. We could not help but get a chance to talk to him. He has returned with the cup of Midtown coffee and the Edge Espresso. It's back. The deck and Memphis fastest, freest Wi-Fi. It's all back. The espresso beverage is it's free. Every sixth coffee or espresso, the beverage is free. The sound system, you recognize this place, don't you? Frequency cards are on file, still on file. Sound system throughout the cafe, inside and outside. It's awesome. There are house instruments, a PA system, electric drum kit, piano, guitar, original music will be in there all the time. You recognize the place now. If you've been in Memphis at all, around Midtown or over here by the university, you remember The Edge. Well, as of July the 4th, it's open for business again.
Sort of.
And we are privileged to talk to the owner of The Edge, the founder of The Edge, the guy that, well, he keeps it going and has been doing it. And the reason that we got him over here is because it's such a fantastic story. Mr. Frank James, no kin to Jesse.
That's my sister. My dad got a sense of humor. All right. She's a school teacher down in Benoit, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I think that's what rednecks can do with a French name, you know what I mean? No offense,
no
Mississippi.
Offense. Frank, like I said, the story, the press release I got is just fantastic. Originally, you opened up in 94.
Yes, sir. In June of 94. My girlfriend at the time was working at the Switchboard Deli, and that was a little delicatessen at the phone company building, which had been since imploded.
Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I used to work over.
Right. It was 1314 Madison, I believe. Yeah. But the owners were Russian immigrants, and they were, I don't know what they were thinking when we first went in there, but they let us rent the place from them after 3 p.m. because they closed early. Phone company got off and they closed. So there was a space sitting there, and I had the coffee bug, and I like people, so we tried it there, and we just turned the thing into a coffee house every day. We went in and took cardboard stuff, coffee bags in there, and our little dishes, and $80 espresso machine from Sears, and,
oh, wow.
You know, and I think we made $80 on our grand opening there. And, but it was cool, and it showed me that I really, really wanted to do that.
It was something that you knew you could handle.
Right, and they sold their business. We didn't know it was for sale, but they sold it, and we were there for 60 days. And so then we went looking for another place to be and found the place on Cooper.
Yeah, and that's the first one I remember.
Yes, sir.
Edge over on Cooper.
Right on.
Say, sir, make me feel old.
Oh, I say that to two-year-olds. It's a southern thing.
Yeah, it's true. But in the 532 South Cooper.
Yes, sir.
And it was over there with, there was two or three different things right there in that line.
Right. When we moved over there, there wasn't really much. Yeah. We kind of considered ourselves the link between the square and Cooper Young.
Yeah.
And we kind of watched it grow from the middle a little bit where we were. And most of the buildings over there are taken. You know, most of those people aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But there was a bookstore that had just closed. And Lipford Sheet Metal over there, they're the owners of the property, and they're real nice, good people. Mm-hmm. And they let us in, and we opened the coffee house, and we got overwhelmed pretty quick.
You know, Is that right?
It just
took off.
It was huge. Mm-hmm. We moved out a pool table and a lot of tables and chairs to get people space to stand there and be happy and visit with each other, you know.
So. It's almost it's like the original Starbucks around Memphis.
Sort of. I don't know the.
I don't think there was a Starbucks here in 95.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. No. They didn't open. See, the first Starbucks in Memphis, okay, here we go. Number one, I don't compete with anybody.
Right.
I do the best I can with what I got.
Yeah.
Friendly with all independent coffee people in Memphis. Karen at Utterlands, Marriott at Java, yeah. You know, the people at Republic Fitz owns it now. I just get along with them all. Me and Mary used to, we run out of something, you know, and loan each other syrup or whatever. So anyway, and Starbucks came. That was their first big step out of the airport. That's what they usually do is come to the airport in a kiosk and they scout them around and they find what they want. Yeah. Yeah. And so I have still have a business plan for 1850 Union Avenue where I tried to buy ponchos. Those old ponchos.
I remember that.
And ponchos, it didn't work out there. The deal didn't work out. It was too much money. But not long after that, here comes Starbucks, and they just kind of proved to me that I had a good head for that because they biggest coffee company in the world went into the location I tried to get into.
Yeah.
So
that's even though it's competition, it's encouraging.
Right. And I, you know, I remember exactly where I was standing when they went public.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't buy any stock, but I should have.
But and then you stayed there for 6 years?
Three years. Yeah.
And the name of the place, the name of the Edge grew.
It did. It did.
Real fast.
And between the name and the logo and the times that we had there, I feel like it's really etched in the conscious of people, you know, consciousness. Yeah. It's just there.
And then, but that's 3 years, then you had to get away from that one.
Well, yes, sir. We ran into parking issues and such. We had to go secure parking spaces. People walked for a quarter mile up to, you know, they parked blocks away, and they didn't mind that either. I've seen lines that came from the back of the building where our coffee bar was and went through the building, down the stairs, down the driveway, up the sidewalk as far as Peabody.
Oh, wow.
You know, and being brand new at it, you know, we were just, wow. I'm
thrilled to death.
Yeah, yeah. So we had to buy us a little home/commercial espresso machine, and then we had to buy another one of them, and then we had to buy a little single espresso machine, you know, real commercial one. It kind of went from there, you know.
Man. And then in 97.
Yes, sir.
Moved again.
Right.
Moved up on Poplar.
Right, right. Like the bookstore, the place on Poplar belongs to Kang Ree, Elvis's karate instructor. We rented that, leased that, and were there for about a year. And a lot of things happened during that year. We bought a coffee cart. We started going to the Liberty Bowl. We did Memphis State basketball game. Yeah, I'm sorry. I went to Memphis State. I didn't go to University of Memphis.
Yeah.
But, we did the Pyramid, we did concerts, we did the Coliseum, we did the basketball games, Disney on Ice, all that fun stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so I got a coffee cart. It's like a mobile coffee house. I could throw a music festival in a field if I got a generator. You know?
Oh, wow. And we go, of course, open 24 hours a day.
We were, yes, sir, on Poplar. We were open 24 hours a day. Sort of became known as the after hours place in Midtown, you know, because we had, you know, they got the after hours places for folks, and then they got the after hours places for the servers and people that are taking care of those folks, and they all stop by our place usually.
Right on. So, and how long did that one last? See, they got the story of perseverance, because that's so impressive.
Well, we were there, I don't know, man, I'm just a hard trier, you know, and I don't see really anything much special about us but except the people that we had there, and I feel obligated to them, you know, to be there. And there's been times when I just couldn't, you know. I had in 97, 98, my wife and I separated, and there were a lot of other things going on, and I had 12 employees and a 24-hour business, and I was living in the back, you know, for about 9 months, and I just had to stop, you know, and I sort of disappeared for a minute.
Backed off for a while.
Well, yeah, I just disappeared for a while. We'll leave it at that.
Now, if you just tuned in, by the way, we're talking to Mr. Frank James, who is the owner and originator of the original Edge Coffee House. And it's back, will be back, is back.
Right on.
We'll be back into that, too. But if you remember the Edge, the Edge is open. You still doing 24 hours?
Well, actually, we're we threw a party last night. We had a big party. I could not open for business yesterday. That was my goal, was to open for business on July 4th. Yeah. And that's what the press release, and there's a lot of momentum going on the internet with it, and a lot of people excited about it. And I couldn't just not do it, you know, so we gave it away last night. We gave everything that we sold last night, didn't sell it, we gave it away. Because we don't want to get in trouble with the Tennessee Revenue, you know. And I was on the phone with them this morning, you know, getting everything worked out so that we can get open for business.
So when is the grand opening?
Well, that would have been last night, and it was a grand party. And the being open for business, as far as I know, should take about a week or two. Okay. We have, you know, now you go through the revenue service to get your license instead of the county. And there was some sales tax issue and from the Overton Park location. And we got that all worked out.
That's right.
And so
you disappeared 98.
Yes, sir.
And then reappeared in 2008.
Sort of, yes, sir. In 2007, I tried to partner with Moe's, which was stood for right Memphis Originals, on Walker. And that just didn't work out. And I was there for 7 months, and I showed myself, and the people showed me that they would come. You know, if I was doing what I did and trying to make it the way they wanted it, that they would come.
So. Sounds like deadheads almost.
Oh, there were a lot of deadheads. A lot of my employees were deadheads. Yeah. 90s kids that wanted to be 60s kids, you know, and we're still like that. I was a 60s baby, so.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, yeah.
60s kid, I guess I wasn't a baby.
I was at Portland, Oregon at a national specialty coffee convention the morning that Jerry Garcia died, and that was our alarm. Woke us up the first morning in Portland, the radio alarm, and they were telling the story that Jerry had died. Oh, wow. And I wasn't a real big, I mean, the deadheads, they like all that stuff and goes on and on and on, and that's cool, you know, jam stuff. But a couple of their commercial songs, like Trucking, I like, most deadheads don't like, you know. Okay. But anyway, deadheads, yes.
And then, like you mentioned, Overton Park. The building materialized in 98?
Yes. A friend of mine had the building. It was a clubhouse. It was a private clubhouse. And he needed to get out of his lease, and the way that he needed to do that was to be able to lease the building. So I signed a lease April 21st, 08, and that was just about a week and a half before real estate crashed. And then the economy crashed right behind it, and I was supposed to be open in June. But I wound up 6 weeks late because my investors evaporated. There were construction people, there were real estate people, insurance people, and all that just went in the tank.
Yeah,
you know, so I had to improvise a lot, as usual. You know, I'm like the undercapitalized Wonder Boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah. But you kept it going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You kept it going, and then
3.5 years, and we broke even for 2 months, for that month.
Yeah.
You know, we spent a lot of money, a lot of borrowed money during that three and a half years that we were there, and wound up closing. We opened actually 10 years to the day from when I closed in 98. Wow. July 6th, 98, we closed on Poplar. July 6th, 08, we opened on Overton Park Avenue. And I went there because the Midtown Project was happening. Washington Bottoms was approved. They had the public meeting.
Yeah.
It was all on. Lehman Brothers was down with it. And then what happened to the economy. And that was all pretty big news. I'm not going to talk about Lehman Brothers. But I was between Crosstown Tower, Sears Tower, and the Washington Bottoms Project on Watkins. And the Sears Tower, I sort of had the inside on that.
This concludes part one of our special Focus on the Arts with Frank James, founder of the Edge Coffee House. Join us next Friday for part two. And this has been Focus on the Arts. Do it again next week. In the meantime, we're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.